good to see everybody this week. We've Michelle just said it. It's an interesting week. Spring break is going on places, and time change, all kinds of good things are happening. But we're here this morning, and I'm excited to see everybody. And we're just going to jump right into the Word and just allow God to speak to us this morning. I was thinking this week, the first question that humans were asked in the Garden of Eden is, "Where are you?" Remember, Adam and Eve sinned, and they hid themselves, the Bible said. And then God showed up, because the Bible says God would meet with them every day. And he shows up, and they're hiding. Now God wasn't wondering where they were. He doesn't lose at hide and seek, all right? He asked, "Where are you?" because he wanted Adam to know that he was there. And he also wanted Adam to know the predicament that he was in. He really wanted him to understand exactly where he was. And so as we are reading the scripture this morning, I want us to be thinking about that. If God were to ask you this morning, "Where are you?" He's not looking for you. He knows where you are. We're not going to outsmart him. But if he were to ask that question to us today, how would we answer it? In our spiritual life and how we're doing today and how we're living our lives and are we living according to Scripture and all those kinds of things. If he were to ask, "Where are you?" how would you answer that question today? And I believe the Word's going to help us today to kind of figure out where we fit and where we are. So if you would, I know you've been standing, but we don't get any rest on Sunday morning, so stand up with me. And we're going to read the scripture together, and then we're going to pray. And so here's the deal. We're reading the scripture because we want God to speak to us. We're not here this morning just to hang out. We could do that. We could have done that at Denny's, all right? That'd be fine over some pancakes. That's not the only reason we're here. Part of the reason is connection, friendships. But we're here to let the Word touch us, change us. Our lives should look different after looking into God's Word. Every time we look into God's Word, it's sort of a mirror. You know, when you got ready for church this morning, you went, "Oh, I need to do something. I need to fix something. I need to anoint my hair. I need to whatever needs to happen." And we changed it. Everybody in the room did that this morning. We changed something. You didn't roll out of bed looking like you do right now. I mean, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Just get up and go. No, you didn't. All right? If you did, listen, we would know it, all right? So we know you worked on it, okay? So that's what we're doing this morning. We open the Word, so we get a chance to see our reflection. We get a chance to grow this morning. And so let's look into His Word. 1 Corinthians, we're going to look at a bunch of scriptures today, but we're going to really focus in on three scriptures, and they are these scriptures. 1 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15, and chapter 3, verse 1. So it goes like this. "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments." Verse 1, "Brothers and sisters," I love this, Paul constantly does this, "brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ." Father, we thank you today for your Word. And Lord, we ask you to help us today to find ourselves in this moment, where we stand and how we're doing, and if we're in alignment with you, Lord, speak to us through your Word. It will not be my ability to share your Word this morning that will accomplish anything, Lord. It will be your Word that does its work in us. And we just want to be pliable and obedient in your hands today and allow you, God, to work in our hearts, to change us and to mold us into your image. And we thank you for that opportunity right now, God, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. 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 You can be seated. Amen. Now listen, every one of us falls into one of these three categories that we're going to talk about this morning. Every one of us falls into one of these three categories. The categories are the natural person, the spiritual person, or the carnal person. Everybody in here will find ourselves in one of these categories. Now, you know, when you go to the mall and you, it's a new mall. I know malls are old school. I get it. But you've been to a mall. Don't act like you're that new. All right. And we've all been there, and we were like, I just want to find that one store. And you go to the big map in the middle, and you feel a little dumb because everybody else seems to know where they're going. But you stop and you're looking and you're looking and you find the list but none of it matters until you find that one little star that says you are here. And then you can find your directions to wherever you want to go from there. And the same thing works when you open your phone. Where am I? Where am I? Let me see where I am so I can figure out where I need to go. So we get this. And so as we're looking at these scriptures this morning, I want you to ask yourself, where am I? Am I in the natural person category? Am I in the spiritual person category? Or am I in the carnal person category? Now, the Apostle Paul was talking to the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church was in Corinth, which was a city that was an ungodly city. They didn't care what God thought. They didn't want anything to do with God. They were making money. They were there for pleasure. They were just a metropolitan area that was not concerned with God. And so this church finds itself in the middle of this city. Now, the people that are in the church, the people who have accepted Christ, are still living in the city. They're still a part of that city, which is what the Bible tells us to do. He tells us to live and to occupy and to do what we do. But he wants us to honor him in the process. And so Paul has spotted some things in this Corinthian church that he needs to point out. Just remind them. We've all been there where somebody says to us, hey, you're kind of off track, and maybe it's on your job. And your boss says, I'd really like for you to do it like this, like we talked about earlier. And maybe you forgot about how he wanted it or she wanted it done. And so you hadn't been doing it that way. And so it's just a little bit of an adjustment. And so Paul is doing that with these Corinthian people. And he wants them to know that they fit in one of these categories. And so, listen, so we got a bunch of scriptures this morning. So I just want you to look at somebody right now and say, hold on. All right, we're gonna go through some scripture this morning. All right, so if you're a note taker, lay your pencil down and pull out your phone. All right, because you're gonna be snapping them. All right, so here's the deal: he wanted them to understand where they fit. And so let's start with this: what is the natural person? Now, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Now, the natural person is the person that doesn't know Christ. So they don't see the world in spiritual terms. They just see the world like they want things they want to do. This person does not know Christ. And so he lays out this category. He's like, there are people here that don't know Christ. And you're looking at the world through your own lens, through a natural lens. And then he wants them to understand that there are some markers that will help us understand what a natural person is. So let's dive into these. I'm going to give you three marks of a natural person. That means a person that does not know Christ. The first one is you're born into the natural world. Now that sounds so simple. But Psalm 58 says, these wicked people are born sinners. Even from birth, they have lied and gone their own way. Now that, listen, he said from birth. He said even when they were babies, they were messed up. You ever raised a baby? Selfish people. I mean, so selfish. They don't ask nicely. They just scream until you feed them. You never have to teach a child to steal. You got to teach them not to steal. You don't have to teach a child to be selfish. They're just naturally selfish. You got to teach them to not be selfish. You don't have to teach a kid to lie. They figure it out real quick. You got to teach them not to lie. And the Bible says it's our nature. We're born with this nature. Romans 3 says, no one is righteous, not even one. Nobody's righteous. None of us are righteous. He said, you're born that way. I mean, if we just did what came natural, we would ruin our homes and our marriages and lose our jobs if we just did what came naturally. So Paul said, you need to know if you fit in that category. Here's the second marker or mark of a natural person. They're blind to the spiritual world. But people who aren't spiritual cannot receive these truths from God's Spirit. He's saying if people who are natural, who are, don't know Christ, they can't receive these truths. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Now, this word received, he says, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. This word receive means to welcome. So he says, if you don't know Christ, you can't welcome spiritual truth. You have no appreciation for spiritual things. A natural man can appreciate coming to church because of friendships, but he's not going to appreciate the message of the word until something happens. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction. He said, but Jesus is the way. And until that person is born again, until that person accepts Christ, spiritual things just are beyond them. Can't figure it out even if they wanted to until they're born again. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, Jesus said, you got to be born again. He was a good man. He said, you have to be born again. Nicodemus was, he didn't understand spiritual things. And so he said, are you telling me I got to go back into my mother's womb and be born again? And I could almost see Jesus go, come on, man. You don't really mean that. But he didn't know what he was saying. And so he explains to him that something good is going to happen to you, that I'm going to do a work in you. God is going to change you. You're going to be born. That old man is going to be dead. That natural man is going to die. And you're going to be born all over again into a spiritual man. Now, it's important that we get this one. Because sometimes we expect people that don't know Christ to act like people who know Christ. We expect them to see the world the same way we see the world. This is not an arrogance thing. Because whatever good is in my life, it came from the miracle working power of Jesus. Not through me. Not through my ability. So when I can't argue spiritual things with somebody who is not spiritual. It's a waste of time. That person needs to know that Jesus died for them. So if I'm fighting about spiritual things, or really fighting about anything, I'm wasting my time when I should be doing what Paul said. Just tell them about Jesus. Just tell them about the cross. Let's just love them where they are. Don't turn this into some fight. So when things are, when we are living a natural life before we come to Christ, we don't understand spiritual things, which leads us to the third marker of a natural person. We're bound, before we know Christ, we're bound to this material world. Jude verse 19 says this, they follow their natural instincts because they do not have God's Spirit in them. Their natural instincts. They're just doing what comes natural. This world is the only world that the natural man knows. He's a materialist. He has no capacity for spiritual things. In this passage, actually, he's using the word sensual. We all know what that means in our culture, but it really refers to senses. He's living by his senses. He's living by things that make him feel good. She's living by things that make her feel good. The deep longing that they have is really a hunger for God. The natural man can't discern that. So they're constantly trying to figure it out and feel better about things. They're constantly looking for something. But again, we got to be born again to understand what we've been missing. So that's the natural man. And then Paul is talking to the spiritual man. The spiritual man, here's some things we need to know about him. 1 Corinthians 2:15, the person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things. But such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. The natural man doesn't understand this, but he's saying, look, there's something going on in your life when you accept Christ and he's working in you. You stop living by natural laws and you start living by supernatural laws. Things that used to trip you up and control you by supernatural means, by God's Spirit, your life has been changed. Something is changing in you. That God is working you. The natural man does what comes natural. The spiritual man does what comes supernatural. Again, it's not an arrogance thing. It's a submission thing. I'm submitting my life to Christ and allowing him, the power of Christ, to work in me, and I surrender that to him. Now, here's the three markers of a spiritual person. This person lives by the Spirit. Verse 12, what we have received is not the spirit of the world. It's not the spirit of the world. It's not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. We received God's Spirit. We've been born twice. If you're a spiritual man, woman, you've been born twice. You were born when you were born as a physical person into a natural life. And then when you accept Christ, you're born again and changed. Christians are not, I want you to get this if you don't get anything else. Christians are not just natural people who decide to do better. Let's stop here for a minute. Christians are not just natural people who say, let me self-help my way into a better life. You can still be a natural person away from Christ and do better, all right? Change your life. When we accept Christ, something happens in us, the work of Christ in us, radically, dramatically, supernaturally changes us in the new birth. When we are born again, he changes our very nature. A Christian is not a tadpole that becomes a frog. There's a frog in every tadpole. It's the frog that turns into a prince. That's what Jesus is trying to do. He's trying to do something in our lives that is so supernatural that we can't take credit for it. That when we look back, our testimony is, look what God did, not look what I did. If I can say, look what I did with my life. If you just follow these three steps, your life too. You too can be rich. That's not the testimony. The testimony is, I was a frog. I was messed up. And look where I'm at now. Not that I'm anything impressive to you, but look where God brought me. Look at what he did. Look at how God changed me. Look at how he worked in my life. It's a miracle. We got people in this room right now. It's a miracle that you're here and not on the couch in a hangover this morning. All right? Because you know where your life was. You know where you came from. It's not just simply a gradual change. It's the miraculous power of God working in us. It's becoming what we can never be by our nature. We've received new life. We're born again. Here's the second marker of a spiritual person. That person learns from the Spirit. What we have received is not the spirit of the world. This is the same scripture we just read. But the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. When we receive the Spirit, we receive spiritual knowledge that we might know God. When we get saved, God turns a light on in our soul, if you will. Proverbs chapter 20 says it this way, the human spirit is the lamp of the Lord that sheds light on one's inmost being. It's like God, through the Holy Spirit, pours the oil in us and lights the lamp in us. The light that was not there before is turned on because we've surrendered our lives to Christ. Something changed. Can you testify to that this morning? I'm not what I'm going to be, but I'm sure not what I used to be. Amen. That God is working in my life, miraculously working in my life and changing me. Here's the third mark of a spiritual person. He's liberated through the Spirit. The Bible says it this way, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. He's saying the person who's surrendered to the Spirit is not just listening to everything around them, human judgments and human ways of doing things. That person is saying, Lord, what are you doing? How are you working? How are you changing things? They're hearing a different voice than they used to hear. They're listening to a different voice. The spiritual man has a different value system. She sees through a different lens. Before you accepted Christ, you saw the world one way. After you accept Christ, you see the world a different way. It's just a different way of going about life. The world system doesn't squeeze a spiritual person into the world's mold. No. The spiritual person said, I'm just passing through this world. I'm not going to be conformed to the customs of this world. It's God setting us free, liberating us, changing us. We see things from a different point of view. We see that God is working in us. We're not bound by the material world, but we're liberated by the Spirit. We're not bound by the old stuff, old habits and addictions, but we're free. The spiritual person understands. Now, this is important. The spiritual person understands the natural person. Let me say that again. The spiritual person understands the natural person, but the natural person does not understand the spiritual person. It goes like this. Well, come on with us. We're going to go do what we've always been doing, and you were a part of it, right? Saturday night. Woohoo. Come on, man. And you're like, no, man, I'm good. I'm not doing that anymore. What did your old buddy say to you? Are you crazy? What happened to my friend? You're not as much fun as you used to be. You don't act like you used to act, because the spiritual man understands the natural man, because we know where we came from. But the natural man doesn't understand the spiritual man. He goes, what? You're no fun. Now, listen, I love this passage that I'm going to share with you. It's not on the screen. I just want to read it to you. This is for everybody who is dealing with a friend who is saying, come on, let's go do the stuff we used to do. 1 Peter 4:4, it says this, of course, your former friends are surprised when you're no longer plunged into the flood of wild and destructive things they do. So they slander you. Come on now. They're talking bad about you. He ain't no fun anymore. He's one of those church people now. And you're like, but I'm not hungover and I'm not broke. And things are feeling better and the wife is much happier than what she used to be. Because I'm coming home. Things are better at home. And listen, the world, God understood that when we change, when we allow God to change us from being a natural man to being a spiritual man, there's a transition period right here. I mean, you got old friends. And I hope you can keep them as old friends, but we know there's certain things we cannot do and places we cannot go. And there's going to be some issues in that transition, but God is working in us. He's working in us. Not who I'm going to be, but I'm not who I used to be. He's working in us. Now, here's the third category that Paul gives us. There's the natural man, there's the spiritual man, and then there's the carnal man. This is the most dangerous place to be. The natural man is one thing. Spiritual man is where you want to be. The carnal man is something completely different. Chapter 3, verse 1, brothers and sisters, he's talking to people in the church. In the church. He's talking to people in the church. I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit. He's talking to people in the church. I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. Now, he's not saying, you're just a baby, take it easy, it's all right. Mm-mm. He's correcting them. He's saying to them, you're still acting like a baby, even though you are supposed to be a spiritual man now, a spiritual woman now. You have taken no ownership. Now listen, if you get mad at this, you're going to have to be mad at Apostle Paul, not me, all right? Because we're just preaching our way through 1 Corinthians, all right? He's saying, you're acting like a baby. You have taken no responsibility for spiritual growth. The natural man does what comes naturally. The spiritual man does what comes supernaturally. The carnal man does what comes unnaturally. In other words, he refuses to follow the growth process. I heard an old preacher one time that said this. He said, "I don't mind giving people a bottle. I just don't like to have to move his mustache to the side to do it." I know, that's rough. Paul is saying, look, when you are a spiritual man, but you're still acting like a baby, that's unnatural. You see someone who's supposed to know Christ and they're still selfish like a baby, you just go, something's wrong with that. It doesn't work. He needs to grow up. So Paul calls them brethren because they're in the church. Here's the three markers of a carnal man. A carnal person. The carnal person is a Christian, but that person is defeated. 1 Corinthians 3:3. You are still worldly, for since there's jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? He said, you're still acting like you did before you met Christ. He said, you're living in a way there's no victory. He said, you can't walk. You're not walking spiritually. You're not warring spiritually. You're not working spiritually. You are just sitting back and hoping that somebody else is going to take care of you. You got to love me after this is over. There are believers in the church world that refuse to grow up. The carnal Christian is a contradiction in terms. We shouldn't be carnal Christians, worldly Christians. Our lives should look different. The average Christian should not be carnally minded, worldly minded. When we accept Christ, things ought to change in us. We allow Christ to work in us so that our lives don't look like they used to look. Here's the second marker. The carnal person is dependent on somebody. Come on, smile. Somebody smile, all right? The carnal person is dependent. I gave you milk, not solid food. He's talking to the church, remember? He's talking to adults. People who have accepted Christ, he said, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still not ready. So Paul is saying, this is not part of the scripture, but Paul is saying that he has become a spiritual nursemaid. That he is supposed to be leading men and women of God, but he's passing out bottles. Jody is a dental hygienist by trade, and she told me this many years ago, that if you give a bottle to a baby when they go to bed at night, moms, don't get mad if you do this, all right, it's just facts. If you give a bottle full of milk to a baby and lay them down and you leave that milk on their teeth all night, their teeth start to rot. It causes so much problems because they shouldn't be drinking milk and leaving milk on their teeth all night. And then eventually their teeth has so many cavities that when it's time for them to chew something that is solid, they can't because it hurts. When we as believers in Christ are living our lives waiting for someone to fix a bottle for us rather than taking responsibility for our spiritual growth, we're living as carnal men and women, and that is not pleasing to God. He wants us to grow up in Christ. He wants us to make an impact in this world. And as long as we are anemic and weak and tired and waiting for someone to feed us, we can never be what God's called us to be. We can never fight those battles. If a carnal Christian grows at all, it's dependent on someone spoon feeding him. Now, I don't know about you, but when somebody starts moving a spoonful of food my way, I'm like, hey, whoa, ho, what are we doing? Try this. No. Lay the spoon down, I'll pick it up, and I'll feed myself. We're not doing this across the... And yet, in the spiritual world, sometimes... we're just waiting for somebody else to spoon feed us. this is going to be mean, all right, but here we go. If you are getting your spiritual encouragement from TikTok, it is not, there's no depth in it. If you say, I heard this preacher say, and you got this great quote, you're not growing the way you could grow if you took ownership of your spiritual growth and said, let me become what God wants me to be. Let me surrender my life to Him in a way that says, God, I'm a mess, but I want you to change it. I want you to do something in my life. If we're dependent on someone else to teach us, it's a problem. Now, when you first accept Christ, that's great. You're supposed to get a bottle. You're supposed to get the milk of the word, you know. But after a while, we got to take our spiritual growth seriously. Let me read this passage. It's not on the screen. It's from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. It says this, there is much more we'd like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. I'm just going to let that hang there for a minute. He said, you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Straight out of Scripture. He said, look, some of you have been believers long enough that you should be teaching other people this. You shouldn't be tired and weary all the time in your spiritual journey. You should be sharing this message. You should be discipling others. You should be encouraging others. He was saying some of you ought to be teachers, but you're still waiting for somebody to do it for you. All right, one more. Marks of a carnal person. Here's the third one. The carnal man is divisive. For you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world when one of you says, I'm a follower of Paul, another says, I'm a follower of Apollos? Aren't you acting just like people in the world? Here's what he said. You're acting like two kids in the playroom fighting over one toy. You're fighting about it. Now, thank God we don't have this problem around here. I'm so grateful for that. But our selfish nature, if we don't grow in Christ, we accept Christ and we refuse to grow, we just get more selfish and more selfish. We ask things like, well, what's in it for me? And we live our lives with that mentality. What's in it for me? What am I getting out of this? What am I doing? When we pick a church, it should not be what's in it for me. It should be, God, what are you doing through me? How are you going to build the body of Christ? If we choose to live our lives that way, it changes us. When we say, Lord, I want you to use me. I want to grow up. You see, the natural man, this is a tough message this morning, all right? The natural man is lost. The natural person is lost. They're on their way to hell. Can we just say that? That's what the Bible tells us. The spiritual man, the spiritual woman, should be living in victory and on their way to heaven. But the carnal person who is saved, but nobody knows it, because it doesn't affect the way we live our lives when we live in a carnal manner. So if I'm looking for myself on that scale today, am I a natural man, spiritual man, carnal man? If I'm standing at that spiritual mall looking at that sign today and I say, here I am, right here, here you are, where do I find myself this morning? And it's not about condemnation, but you got to know where you are before you can get to where you want to be. We got to know that, and we got to follow him, and we got to trust him, because God's got us all on this journey. He's working in our lives. He's changing us every day. But our job, as Paul was saying to the Corinthians, he's really showing them a picture of surrender. What if we knew, every one of us in this room today, what if we knew that if we really lean into our relationship with Christ, that we're going to become mature, stronger in every way of our life. We're going to become stronger, and we're going to get to help some people along the way by leading, by teaching, by showing, by giving an example, that we're going to get to impact the world for Christ and therefore impact eternity by leading people to Christ. But we had to choose, am I going to live my life as a natural man, a spiritual man, or a carnal man? I think we all know where we want to be, but there's choices involved. There's choices. So if you're looking for yourself on the map today, where are you? Where do you find yourself? Now, the spiritual man is not the perfect man. The spiritual woman is not the perfect woman. The spiritual person is the person that says, okay, I'm living my life surrendered to God today. And when I fail, I'm going to repent, and I'm going to get some help, and I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to move forward. I'm not going to live here. I'm not going to wallow in it. I'm not going to be selfish. I'm going to surrender. Stand up with me, everybody. I want to challenge us all right now. And here's the way I want to do it. What is the next step in your journey with Christ? What's the next step? Because here's what we do most of the time. We get a little bit of inspiration and we go, I'm changing things. I'm doing it. But we don't decide what change looks like. We don't decide what needs to happen in our life for change to happen, because we just naturally do. We're just like water. We just run downhill. Path of least resistance, right? It's easy that way. So what is the thing that needs to change? If you don't find yourself on that map where you need to be today, what needs to change today? What surrender needs to happen? Maybe you've been a believer for a long time, but you just have never opened God's word. You enjoy being at church and around other believers and all of that, but you just never said, let me take ownership of my spiritual growth. Let me open the Bible. Let me see what it says. Maybe that's the first step. That's a simple one. The Bible tells us as we hear God's word, it increases our faith. We just naturally become stronger. Maybe you've never accepted Christ and you say, today is my day. I just want to surrender. My step is I need to surrender my life to God. We say it every week. It's as easy as A, B, C. I need to admit that I've sinned. I need to believe in Jesus. I need to confess him as Lord of my life and start that journey with him. Give him the controls of my life and trust him to take me where I need to go. Let's start my journey with the Lord. So wherever we are, God hasn't forgotten about us. God hasn't gotten rid of the plan he has for us. He's got a plan, and he loves us, and he cares about us. We've said this a million times around here. He loves us just like we are, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. He loves me too much to leave me where I'm at today. He wants to work in my life. And we're going to pray right now. What's that thing? What's that next action step that needs to take place for your spiritual growth to go to the next level? Father, we thank you today. Thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, you've been so good to us. We know this, and we thank you for that. But Lord, today we want to honor you. We want to put you first in our lives. And Lord, for the people who don't know you today, Lord, I pray that they would take that step and just admit our sin and believe in you and confess you as Lord, and let this be the day that their life moves in the direction of you, God, instead of the direction they've been going in the past. Lord, just let them know how much you care about them and how much you love them today. Lord, for the spiritual person who's ready to take that next step, Lord, today we ask you, Lord, to help us to see that next step, take that next step, and move forward. Lord, for those that are just sort of not growing and living and viewing the world from a worldly, carnal standpoint, today I pray, Lord, that you would just touch our hearts, convict us, draw us close to you. Help us, Lord, to give you those areas of our life that are not in line with your will, that cannot receive your blessing. Lord, if there's sins in our life, we want to confess that today. We want to give you the reins of our life. We want to trust you to do the work. And we thank you, God, for what's coming. And we thank you, God, for the blessings that you have for us, Lord. And we just want to surrender and allow you to do your work in us today. We ask for that, and we thank you for it right now, God. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Amen. 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 I've been asking you to do this quite a bit lately, but I'm going to finish with this morning. What if you woke up tomorrow and sat up on the side of your bed and said, what is it that you are doing in me today? What are you doing in me today? How do you want to use my life today? How can I bring you glory today, Lord? And to surrender and say, God, I trust you. I trust you. Now, here's what's going to happen. God's going to challenge you. He's not going to ask you to do a bunch of stuff that's so simple and easy. Now, there may be some of that, but he's going to ask us to do things that challenge us, make us a little nervous. He's going to ask us to tell somebody about Jesus. He's going to ask us to make an impact in our world and how we live and the stand we take. And it's going to be challenging, but as followers, spiritual people, that's what he does. He grows us, and you can't grow without some pain and some stress and a little bit of nervousness. That's how we grow. So what if we sat up tomorrow and went, Lord, what are you doing today? I want to be a part of it. God, thank you for what you're doing. Help us, Lord, to surrender and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love you, everybody. Have a great afternoon.